So in this little series called Stay Calm, and it's all from the one line from Philippians 4, verse 6, that says, do not be anxious about anything. Not some things, not certain things, anything. Stay calm. And we said calm, C-A-L-M. Celebrate God's goodness, ask God for help, leave it with God, and then meditate on God's good things. Last week we did this, celebrate God's goodness in your life. Today we're going into the A, ask God for help, which I think is the most difficult one of all because we don't do it. Am I wrong? Let's see. So 1962. We nearly went into World War III, and many of you don't know that. 1962, the Russians decided to send three nuclear submarines with nuclear warheads down south to form a spearhead in Cuba for a new naval base that the Russians wanted to build there. Sailors that got on those nuclear submarines did not know where they were going until they were halfway and were told, this is where we're going. They thought they were going to Siberia for some exercises. Because it's so far and they needed to get here fast, they did a lot of traveling, not underwater like a sub should be doing, but above water. Subs are not built for that, so the waves were buffeting them and it was really hard and difficult. And then they ran into Hurricane Daisy, which was not good for submarines. Damaged some of the systems, but it also damaged the sailors. They were sick like nobody's business. As they got closer to Cuba, they got a new message that said, turn around, go to the coast of Florida. On board were not just the sailors, there was also the chief of staff of a clandestine submarine group, which this was part of, called Vasily Arkhipov. As they turned, they went towards Florida coast. All of a sudden, their systems went nuts, and they realized that the American Navy was surrounding them. And the bombs began dropping, these depth charges that they set off were going off. The captain of all three of these submarines lost his mind because he was so anxious about what was going to happen. And he called his officers together in his one sub. The others were listening in from the other sub. And he said, this is it. We're going down, but we're not going down alone. We've triggered. They're ready to fire the nuclear warheads. They pointed at three huge cities in the U.S. So this is it. We're going to hit them. Vasily Arkhipov said, sir, may I have a word with you? Took him to one side and he said, calm heads need to, in this moment, just be what we have. Think about it. This is not a good plan. Can we just be calm? Think? And all of a sudden, the captain came down from his anxiety and this just wanting to react. And he listened to Arkhipov. They got the subs up, and they were surrounded by the Americans. What happened, we don't know. There was conversation. But in a couple of days, the subs dove and went back to Russia. Not a word was said until 2002. Go read it up. It's available online. When the story was told of the day, when a man called Vasily Arkhipov single-handedly saved the world, prevented World War III. So why do I tell you this story? You're not going to spend 3 weeks in a Russian submarine. But you might spend a whole semester carrying the heaviest class load that you've ever carried, and you're overwhelmed, and it's just too much. You might have to sit at the side of your child's bed for a week. The docs don't know what's going on. You might like me for a while, every day, call your mother. On FaceTime, see your father dying before your eyes, and you're sitting a million miles away. And the anxiety starts building. Not because dad's going home, I'm singing hallelujah because he's standing before the Lord for my mother. Because I know how anxious she is and how hard this is. You might not say a word to your family, but in your heart, you're so scared about where the next payment for the mortgage is coming from. You're not sure the pension that you've been working so hard for is going to last with what's going on in this world and all the things are going. And it just builds and builds, and this anxiety becomes just too much. And in a moment, you feel like you're just going to flip that switch and hit the trigger. Not releasing a nuclear bomb, but that anger that sometimes builds with anxiety, right? Or those accusations that just fly at God and the world and at everyone. Or those harsh, hard words that hurt so badly, not just you, but those that received them. Because that's what happens when we allow it to build. Instead of asking God for help, we sometimes flip the switch. And I've wondered so often how many people have suffered because of uncontrolled anxiety that burst out. How many people in their own lives are struggling with that? How many people have been hit by that and suffer and struggle with that? But then I also wondered, because you know me, I'm a positive guy. Then I've also wondered how many people have seen how disaster has been averted because of a cool, level-headed man like Vasily Arkhipov, who just stayed calm, and whose calm became so contagious that it spread to all those around. And that's what I want to talk with you about this morning from Paul's words. How do we remain contagiously calm when the anxiety levels are through the roof? How do we do that? So let me take you to chapter 4 again of Philippians, which we're going to be. Chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. And then verse 4, we started last week. Rejoice in the Lord, said Paul, always. And I'll say that again. Rejoice. Celebrate God's goodness. And then our verse for today comes from verse 5. And Ted, you'll have that for the screen, I'm sure. Let your gentleness be evident to all. For the Lord is near. Let's walk through this beautiful line, two lines for the rest of the morning and get comfortable. No, I'm joking. Okay. Don't get anxious. Let's walk through them for a second. Notice the first word in that first line. Let your gentleness be evident. The word gentleness, sometimes I looked it up and we have all kinds of strange little words in there. Be mild and meek, and it's kind of, you can't even say a word. No. The word gentleness that Paul uses here in the Greek, Darren, you'll know the Greek word, epieikes. Epieikes means to be level-headed, to be in control, to think clearly. Now read it again and it makes a different sense. Let your level-headedness, let your clear thinking, let your life that is under control be evident. And Paul doesn't say, give it a try, see if it works, maybe it's a good idea. He says, this is how you should live your life. Live with a level head. Don't let it just fly. Don't let it just jump out. Live in such a way that all around you, and there he adds that little word, all, see how contagious your calm can be. Because here's the thing. You know it just as well as I do. The opposite of the level-headed is what we said last week. Isn't that what anxiety does? It overreacts. We said that. Get a little mole, it's cancer. You don't have to repeat the sermon. Paul switches it around. He says, You want to get rid of the anxiety? Let God take care of you there. And don't let it all run away. Live with a level head, with an open mind. Because what happens? The same way in which fear is contagious, and you remember how contagious that is. Do you remember COVID? What that did to us? We were all living in fear. I'll never forget one day. It was kind of in the middle of this. We were getting used to it. Standing outside, we were lining up because we need to go in one by one to go get our stuff. Everyone's all masked up. I stood there. I had an N95 and another mask on that, and I stood away from the people. They were there because I was waiting outside, and little dust came in, and I sneezed, and it was like my name was Moses. It opened up like the Red Sea. Because we're all going to die. You just sneezed. We're gonna It's contagious. That's what fear does. One gets it. We all get it. And we all want to run away. Here's the cool thing that Paul just said. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Because just as contagious as fear is, as much contagious can our calm, level-headedness become when it's a faithful, kind, calm that we give out. Sorry, I didn't ask if I were allowed to say this. My friend Horst Wogemuth is amazing at doing that. I can sometimes be a little bit of a hothead, and then Horst will just say these gentle, kind words. Don't you think we should look at it this way? Do you think this can work? And maybe if we work this way, and then we all sit around the table, and the level heads come back, and we think it through, and we can walk, and we can do. Thank you. May we all catch a little bit of that contagious calm so we can spread it to each other. But I know you're saying, cool theology, but what about life? Where do I get it? How do I get it? Here's the thing. Paul has an answer. Second line. The Lord is near. Yeah, right? So what? Well, let me explain this to you. Ted, I have a nice slide for this. The word near in Greek is the word egos. There's a slide. You can put it up there. It's the word egos. It's a combination of two words in the Greek. The first word is en, which it sounds like the English in or at. And the second word is guion, which means your hand. Now look at the word near again. Don't be anxious. Be level-headed, because the Lord is at hand. Right there, in your hand, by your hand. All you need to do is to say, take my hand, walk with me, carry me. Don't be anxious. The Lord is near. Not one day, not someday, not any now, year, right now. He's available. How do I handle this anxiety? How do I get this contagious calm? By saying, Lord, I can't do it, but you can. Alexander, add this one to the list of my funeral psalms. 121. He says I have a whole list. 121. Listen to the person in 121. I look up to the hills. Where will my help come from? Can you see where the person is? I'm scared. I'm anxious. I'm not so sure about this. Oh, the hills can't help me. The world can't help me. Stuff around me can help me. My help is from the Lord, who made the stuff, who made heaven, who made earth, who made all of this, who made us, who made me, who knows me. He will not let your foot slip. And I've used this example before, but forgive me, because it's the best one I have. Back in South Africa, we lived against a mountain. And when my eldest son, Jacques, was a little boy, he and I would often walk up the mountain to go sit on the top, watch the sunset. I'd take Jacques' hand. We'd walk up there, sit, come back. He grew up. One day as we were going, I gave him my hand. No, I can do this on my own. Okay. So we walked. A little bit, his foot slipped, and he fell, and he scraped his elbow. Got up, He's a big boy. We walk. Again, foot slips. He fell, scraped his knee. Buddy boy got up, looked at me, put his little hand out. He said, "Hey, Dad, will you take my hand again?" I took his little hand and we made it up that mountain and none of us fell. Neither of us fell. The Lord will not let your foot slip, because the Lord is egos, enguion, in your hand, right there, that you can hold his hand. "Lord, this is too much." I know. So here I am. "Lord, I can't do this." I know. You want to get on my back and I carry you a little bit? "Lord, it's overwhelming me." I know, because I hung on that cross and I knew what it meant to be alone and carry all the sins of the world. And how anxious I know. Can I hold you? Can I pick you up and, like a mother, hold you against my breast and just say, "I get it. You and I are together going to get this. You don't have to do this alone. Come. Come get this contagious calm from me. Because I'm there. I'm there for you. I'm not going to let go of you." See, the problem is, we often, when these things happen around us and they become so much, we see this as God being absent. That's a bad assumption to make. Do not assume that the presence of problems is the absence of God. Quite the contrary. But our problem is, the moment we get into this, "Well, I'm struggling, I don't know where God is," we go down that rabbit hole. Or maybe that old song, "The flames burn higher and I go deeper and deeper down into this big old abyss that becomes darker and darker." Because what do? I isolate myself. And when I isolate myself, it's all about, "But I have a problem, I have to fix it. I'm struggling with it, I have to do it. And it becomes I, me, and it's just like this. And God says, "No, that's not true. The Lord is near. Just ask him." Ask God for help. There's your A. Ask God. He's right there. "But it's my silly little thing." So what? He knows about your silly little thing. And it's not a silly little thing for him. It's a huge thing for him. Because he knows what's going to happen. It's going to eat you up, and he doesn't want that. He wants you to live lightly and freely. Ask God for help. I told you that last week when I was going through my stuff. That's all I did. I ask. Every week before I walk up on this thing, Alexander knows, he's a good friend of mine. I've said that to him. Been a minister for 40 years. I am so anxious before I get on this place. You don't know. My legs are shaking. And the only way I can get up here is because I sit there in a moment and I say, "I can't do this. Will you help me?" And then I get up here and it's like, okay, I can sit back. He's going to take me for the ride. Ask him, because he wants to be there. He's near. He wants to be near. Yes, I know. You might have to deal with losing your friends. You might have to deal with losing your youth and losing your health. But the one that you will never lose is the Lord, for the Lord is always. Here's the amazing thing. When these things happen and it builds up in you, you can't do this alone, but God can. You don't have all the gifts to handle this alone, but God has more than you could ever imagine or think. All I need to do is ask, "Will you?" I'm going to end. I'm going to re-preach the sermon that I preached on Thanksgiving for you quickly. Anyone remember what that was about? If you can remember, I won't preach the sermon. Otherwise, I'm going to preach it. No one? Okay, here we go. We got another 30 minutes coming. Now, remember on Thanksgiving, I spoke about Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Now, there we go. Now you remember, right? We spoke about him multiplying that. But let me just take today and put it into that story. The story is about ask God for help. They're on the mountain. Thousands of people.
They have nothing. Jesus asks the question, where will we find bread for these people to eat? What do they do? Do you remember? They look at the problem. And all they see is the problem, and the problem overwhelms them. Philip says, we don't have enough money. We'll never have enough money to buy stuff for all these. Send them away. The other one says, we have no way of dealing with this. Send them away. Problems. That's all they see right before them. And it stresses them out like nobody's business. One of them says, well, there's a little boy, and he has 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is that worth? Problem. And here's the thing. Right there, in front of their eyes, next to them, stands Jesus. And the Lord is near. And no one asks. We can't do this. We don't have. We can't handle the problem. Yes, you can. The Lord is near. In your hand. At your hand. And when he takes 5 little loaves and 2 little fish, there's a banquet for 15,000 people. And they even had a little takeaway basket, each one of them, 12 takeaway basket to take home to remind them. Do not be anxious about anything. Rejoice in the Lord. And then catch a wonderful batch of this contagious calm that comes from God. For the Lord is right there next to you. Who knows? If you ask him, you might go home with a whole basket full of bread and fish, more than you even need. Stay calm. Amen. Father God, thank you for these amazing words. Sometimes we read them, we know them so well, and we just pass right over them. But here's your promise again, that you are with us. Thank you that you never leave us alone. Thank you, Father God, that you sent your Son into this world to walk with us. Remind us every day that all we need to do is to put our hand out there and to ask. And now, Lord, we're going to sing again, and I'm going to ask the praise band to come up while I pray. I want you to prepare the name song again. I'm going to sing that song again, because in the moment I stand here, Lord, I know we need to speak about this just for a moment more. Because sometimes we think it's just theology that we're talking about, but it's not. It's reality. And you're saying, Lord, that in this morning, there are a few of us that need to just be reminded of who you are. And that you're standing there and you've been waiting for a long time to hold our hands. And we don't know how to do that. Remind us. Remind us through the song and the words that will come in a moment. Who you are. Help those who are struggling to take your hand. Let their gentleness take over. In Jesus, we pray. I don't know why. The Lord just put this in my heart. Let me give you a few examples, because we sang it this morning, and I'm just thinking we need to sing this again and maybe talk about it. When God says, I'm near you, the whole Bible is full of that. Do you remember a man called Abraham? What did God say to him? He said, hey, leave your place and then go to where I'm going to tell you where to go. Leave your people. And what was God's promise to him? I will go with you and I'll be with you. And whatever comes, I will be, hear that word, your shield. There was a young woman and her son. Her name was Hagar. His name was Ishmael. They were kicked out by Abraham right in the desert. And there they are alone, waiting to die. And then at a place that she called Be'ir Lahai Ro'i, the fountain of life, where the one saw me, God appears and he says, don't you worry, Ishmael. Don't you worry, Hagar. I will be with you. There was a young man called Joshua to take over from a man called Moses. And he looked at that river that's in flood before him and those enemy soldiers waiting for them to cross the Jordan River. And the Lord says to him, "Do not be afraid, for I will go with you wherever you go." But then, and this is what got me into the song, the greatest moment was when the Son of God was born on a starry night in Bethlehem. And his name was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. At your hand, in your hand, next to your hand, holding your hand, Emmanuel. When Emmanuel died on that cross, before he did that, he said, "I'm going away, but I won't leave you as orphans." And there was the promise, and that's why we're singing this song again. There was the promise. When I go, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send you one just like me. And what did he call him? The Comforter. In the Greek, parakletos, and I preached that to you. Parakletos means the one who comes beside me, the one who puts his arms around me, the one who picks me up and carries me, the one who is not just with me, but where is the Holy Spirit of God? In me. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord is near. When we sing these names and you sing that little piece that says, "And his name is Emmanuel," you take that anxiety and you give it to the Lord.